This one thing keeps more people from being successful than anything else. This one thing. And it really comes down to how do you approach every situation and what is your mindset in the process? And we're going to break this down here with the great Josh Penrod. Josh, great to be with you today.
It's good to be here, Chad. I'm super excited for our convo.
Well, and Josh, I really admire you and your insights and the person that you are and the person you've become. But it hasn't been an easy path for you. And I started out this podcast talking about this one thing that causes people really to not achieve their potential. And I see it in my children. I see it in myself at times. And it's really that victim mentality, right? And you and I have talked before about the importance of you determining and you creating your future. But Josh, you've had some rough experiences in life. And for some reason, you've had the ability to not get caught up in that victim mentality, not thinking that life is happening to you, but you go out and make it happen. And how is that possible? And what was it for you that would allow you to overcome, okay, I'm in a tough situation, but I'm not staying here?
Loaded. Loaded question. If you can see behind me, that sign says passion. I'm not talented. I'm just driven. That's what it defines that as. And I think to answer your question, it hasn't always been that way, right? It hasn't always been this dig in and go and see life as happening for me and not to me. I think life had to happen to me enough that I wound up in a spot where my opportunity to have a perspective shift and to make that choice, because it's really just a choice, right? Like I can choose, the circumstance happens and I can choose, is this happening to me or is it happening for me, right? And that completely different feeling and energy around each one of those choices. Right. And the reality though is we're really quick as humans to just say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened to me, right? Rather than to take the pause. And, you know, Viktor Frankl says between stimulus and response, there is a space. And in that space is the last of the human freedoms. And it's the freedom to choose. But it's so hard for us to just pause in the moment and say, what's going on right now? Right? What can I gain from this experience? And, you mentioned some hard roads that I went down in order to finally have that motivational crisis. And, I was hit by a bus in 2001 and I broke my back and I had reconstructive surgery and I became a drug addict. I got addicted to opioids during the height of the OxyContin epidemic. And I became a heroin addict, and a heroin addiction led to a need to be resourceful so that I could get more heroin. And so I became a car thief, and I wound up in prison. And I wound up in prison. I was there for 4.5 years. And during that time of addiction, I went to multiple rehabs and did a lot of time in county jail. Had 17 different felony convictions, and all across the board, these different felonies. And in the moment, you know, life was happening to me. From the time that I got hit by that bus, I was like, oh my gosh, how does this happen to me? Right. And then, the OxyContin epidemic comes out, and I'm a guinea pig for this new drug that they're giving to everyone that's supposed to be the cure all. And I'm one of the guys, and how does this happen to me? Right. And then going from that to, losing jobs and not being able to show up and losing family and losing friends and all this stuff happening to me until the day that I booked into the prison. And it was actually on my birthday when I was 30 years old. And I was like, how is this happening to me? You know, on my birthday, happy birthday, Josh, you're in prison. But it was in this moment where Chad, I swear to you, like, I don't know. I can only call it like divine providence. Like, I was just tapped on the shoulder and said, you know what, buddy, it's your time. It's your time to just see that there is a space and that you can choose. Because I literally, it like hit me like an epiphany. I was sitting in this room and I'm surrounded by these guys, and some of them I actually know from doing time in county jail with them. And you know, the language that's going on there, we're getting ready to be classified to go into the prison. And so we're sitting there and we're getting taken out one at a time and going through the motions of getting your new clothes and your, you know, your property and your classification, like getting pointed in the direction that you're going to go. And I was sitting there and I was looking around and I was feeling, like I wasn't feeling this nervousness that you would think that you would feel in being in a situation like that. I felt like I'd done it enough that there was part of me that belonged there. Wow. Right. That I had like chosen my way into that situation, and I could see all of it. I could look back and I could see the history of me coming up to this spot. It had been about almost a decade, 8.5 years of in and out of rehabs and jail. And so I'd been doing it a while, and I was like, okay, I can see that. And there is a part of me that I know does not belong in prison. And that part of me felt extremely uncomfortable. And it was almost like I stepped outside of myself and I saw these two bodies existing in one being. And there was this question that came into my mind, Josh, what do you want? Because you can keep doing this, right? You know how to do this. And is it what you really want? And that was like, it was like the devil and the angel.
Right. Right.
You know, on the shoulders. And the angel was like, bro, you're better than this. Right. And it was in that moment where I recognized that I had chosen my way in and I could choose my way out. And so I started from that moment to ask myself the question, Josh, what do you really want? And I think that there is power in those words, in shifting our perspective and recognizing the common denominator in the human experience, which is agency, right? Like, I can choose. I get to choose. And that question for me is a question that gives the power to me to take the circumstance and make a decision. Is it happening to me? Or is it happening for me? And if it's happening for me, guess what? I get to like piece and parse that and figure out, how does it align with what I truly want? What value can I take from the experience? And Chad, I can tell you, I call my 4 years in prison my horrible blessing, because what it gave to me was this really black and white opportunity. It's very like the stark contrast. You know, we never appreciate light as much as we do in a totally dark space.
Right.
And that's what it felt like for me. It's like I was surrounded by all this stuff and I could see it so clearly. And I could position myself as like, hey, this is happening to me again, like it did for the decade prior. Or I could say, what value can I take from this experience? And how can I refine the me in order to go and chase the I want?
Okay, so I have several follow-up questions to that. I mean, Josh, that's an incredible story. But first, when you were on that spiral, when you were, you know, spiraling down for 8.5 years, how many times did you justify your behavior because, oh, I got hit by a bus, I got given these drugs, it's not my fault, it's... Were those real things that you're just saying to yourself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, who's going to argue that?
But you were justifying mediocrity. Josh, so many people justify mediocrity because they say, oh, if I could have just done this, or if I could have just done that,
yeah.
Right? And, uh-huh. You know, and it justifies, okay, well, that way I don't have to feel guilty about performing to my potential. I can have this victim mentality and say, oh, you know, woe is me. I, you know, had this struggle. And so therefore I'm okay. not progressing. I'm okay making excuses for myself. So, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that in that moment of being okay, I would argue that there is that other voice. There's the angel on the shoulder that says that's not okay. Mm. Right? Like there's an energy there and it comes down to what is the signal that's coming into your mind that is encouraging you to make the excuse, right? And when I say signal, I'm really talking about feeling. What's the feeling that comes up that says, you know what? It's okay. Like you got hit by a bus. It's all right. You know, you got addicted to Oxycontin. You didn't know anything about that. It's okay. It's fear. It's fear of exactly what you said, Chad, your own potential and going and grasping it. Because the reality is all of us feel greatness inside of us.
Sure.
I believe that. And probably there'll be people in the comments that are like, no, some of us just don't. I really believe that the human experience is about achieving potential and that we all have it and it's all beautiful and it's all great. And so we all have this pull to go and achieve greatness, but greatness is novel. It's not something you're born with. It's something you drive toward, right? And because of the novelty, we got this little guy inside our brain that is constantly trying to create landscape for our life and trying to piece and parse it to create expectation and create prediction. And is trying to like organize us to keep us safe, right? It's this little thing called the amygdala inside our brain. And it sets off these alarms when there's things that it doesn't understand. It sends a signal to the brain that is sent in a feeling. We feel something. We become consciously aware that there's something that is going to happen that hasn't happened before. And too often when that signal comes, we jump to a conclusion about what it is because it feels unfamiliar. We call it anxiety. Mm. We call it nervousness, right? We call it fear. We call it, I don't have time for that. We call it, yeah, but I got this that I've been doing. Yeah, but I'm too old. Like all these excuses, totally. Right? Yeah, but I got hit by a bus, right? Yeah, but I've been to prison, right? Like all of these things. And we're really quick to jump into that because the feeling is unfamiliar. And so we label it bad and we run away from it. It's a lot easier to just say, nope, and then turn away and not feel it anymore. Because then the brain goes, cool, I gave you the right signal.
Yeah.
Right? The reality is it's not meant to be that. All it's meant to be is the signal that says, hey, check it out. We've never done this before. Coach us. Coach your brain. Mm. And this is the Viktor Frankl space.
Right.
You got to do something with that space. You got to dive into the space and you have to organize yourself within the space. And that organization is not just about where I've been. That's great information.
Sure.
More importantly, where am I going? What do I want? Right?
Oh, absolutely, Josh. And you bring that up. And I love that you touched on that earlier because most people, and I'd say 99% of people, have no real clue what they really want. Right. We have limiting beliefs. We think to ourselves, mm-hmm. I mean, we limit our dreams. You know, when we were kids, we dreamed big and had all these great things that we wanted to accomplish. But then as you become an adult, you're like, no, I got to be responsible and think reasonably and all these other things, which is just, you know what, I don't want to stretch myself that far. But Josh, when you're in prison and you're sitting there, does this feeling that you mentioned earlier on your 30th birthday when you're getting checked into prison, Josh, what is it that you want that comes and hits you? Was that then and there as you were checking into the prison?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And so then did you begin sorting that out right then, or was this a process?
In the moment, I felt the call. Right. I felt that call. I felt that call to explore something without reservation. Right. I mean, I'm grateful that I was in that spot because I did not have anything to lose.
Well, yeah. Here you are. You're rock bottom. You're in prison. Right. You're sitting here going. Yeah. Yep. And I find tremendous irony in the fact that you decide to have this conversation within yourself of what is it that you really want at a place where you have the least opportunity to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the really cool, the thing that I love about the whole illustration of the prison is you're absolutely right. Like, I began to explore freedom from a place of confinement. That's crazy. And isn't it ironic that individuals refuse to explore freedom from a place of like opportunity?
Right.
Right. Like, we have everything available to us, but we won't explore the things that we want the most. You know, George Lucas said it best. He said, we're all in cages with the doors wide open. You know, we build ourselves into these spaces where I can't do that because we've got things to lose, or because, you know, the job, or because we have the education that we pursued and we spent all this money on it and we've got this debt and we've got mortgage and we've got all of these things. Like, what is your cage?
Isn't that crazy? I love that analogy.
What is the thing that is keeping you from exploring your greatest self? Like your freedom. And that's why I call the prison experience my horrible blessing, is because it was in that moment that I didn't have anything to lose, that I started to explore without limitations, without boundaries. And so if we could, in our moment, just say to ourselves, if there were no limitations, if there were no boundaries, if I had nothing to lose, what would I do? And just ask ourselves a question, and just this activity, right? Like, I'll share with you really quick. When I went to see the Board of Pardons and Parole, well, like, we're a indeterminate sentencing state, meaning that the judge sentences you for a statute, and then you go to prison, and then the Board of Pardons decides exactly how much time you're going to be there. And there's this little bit of space between sentencing and when you actually know how long you're going to be there. And it was 6 months for me. And so I waited 6 months to know how long I was going to be in prison. And I was sentenced on two consecutive 1 to 15s, meaning up to 30 years, right? I could be in there up to 30 years. And so I wait 6 months and I go and see the board. And the board tells me you're going to do 4 years. You're going to do 48 months. And I, when that happened, I went back to my cell, Chad. And that night when the doors closed, I was in a single cell. So I was by myself. I didn't have a cellie, a roommate. And when the doors closed for the night, I sat on my bunk and I just put my face in my hands and I just bawled my eyes out. You know, I've been in this mindset of being a drug addict. You don't see beyond the end of the day, let alone look 4 years down the road. And at the time I had a 5-year-old daughter. And I had been a terrible, terrible father to her the first 5 years of her life. And I went and I sat on my bunk and I put my face in my hands and I started crying and I sobbed for the father that I wasn't. Wow. And I sobbed for the father that I wanted to be. And it was in that moment that I answered the question really, really specifically. Josh, if you could do anything with your life, what would you do? And I got out a pen. And I wrote the question down, Josh, if you could do anything with your life, what would you do? And under that, I wrote the word vision. And then I just started to explore on the page without limitations, without barriers. Josh, if you could do anything, what would you do? I would become the greatest father that this world has ever seen. And I started writing about what that looked like. What does it look like? I started writing about my relationship with people. I started writing about the career that I would have. I started writing about the coaching that I would do with my daughter. I started writing about, you know, being the father that was there for everything that she was involved in. You know, I started writing about the type of husband that I would be and how connected I would be to my spouse and all of these things, and this energy started to be curated inside of me. And this is truly the power of vision. From that day forward, I wrote the word vision at the top of a piece of paper every day, because I learned in that practice how powerful it is for us to create in our minds a connection to the things that we really want. Because when we do that, we find our soul. Like, we find what that little angel on the shoulder voice is trying to inspire us to find. It's already there. We just cage it.
I love that.
With all the things, right? Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, getting back, I kind of spiraled off a little bit there, but getting back to this idea of being able to make this clear choice in the moment of, is life happening to me, or is life happening for me, or am I happening to life, right? Like, making that decision really comes down to answering that question, like, what is it that I truly want? And just beginning there and blowing the roof off, like, without limitations, without the little voice on the shoulder that says you can't do that.
Well, and I appreciate you saying that, Josh, but I really want to emphasize what you said, though, with really not, because I think when we start to dream and we start to create that vision, we do put those limitations on there just naturally because we don't want to hurt ourselves, right? We're very nervous about declaring things. And TK says it a little differently. TK will always say, what would you do today if you had no fear, right? And so it's like, well, if I had no fear, then I'd just walk right into that person. You know what I mean? And it's like, limitations, and limitations and fear, they go hand in hand there, right? Because we put limits on ourselves because we're fearful of failing. Mm-hmm. And my wife, Cassie, Cassie lives with an abundance mindset, with tremendous vision of what she wants to accomplish. And she always says to me, whenever I try to, even myself, I'll be like, okay, but we just went on this vacation. I don't know if we should plan this vacation. And she always says, why do you live in an or world when you can live in an and world? You know, she's like, we can do this and that, right? And when, and none of us want to live, you know, we're afraid to declare things and say, you know what, I can do that and I can do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's, I love the story of sitting down and just writing that down and pouring your heart into it. And I don't know. And Josh, I've been around this world speaking to different business leaders, entrepreneurs. I've had countless members on the podcast. I've never had anyone tell me that they created their vision of freedom from the confines of prison. You know, it's just, it's a totally different story than anything I've ever heard.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I love that the story has really given me this opportunity. You know, I think that I'm grateful to have had the opportunity to be able to see clearly in that moment. And I recognize that my story is the story, right? It's the story. It's the story that that has enabled me to show up in spaces with individuals and be privileged to say you can, right? That regardless of what the boundaries are, regardless of what it appears, that we can find that open door. Right? Like we're all in the cage that we've created in our life. And I don't say that with any kind of like bad connotation, right? Like we've just created the life that we've created, and we've built the house, and we have, you know, the mortgage, and we have the family, and we have all of these things. And they're all beautiful things that have created our box. Mm. And the expansion of that is always available to us, right? Like we can always build on, like your wife, I've not met your wife, and her perspective is a beautiful perspective. Why do you live in a land of or when you can live in a land of and?
Right.
Because everything that we've got and, right? And what's next? And where do we go from here? And that type of perspective is the alignment of how is life happening for me? If I take the landscape, whether it's a prison cell or, you know, the office on the 23rd floor overseeing a business that is worth, you know, $500 million. Like the reality is whatever the space is that we've created. And
I love that. I absolutely love that. and then not set those limitations, don't have fear confine you and take you back. Because Josh, you were in prison, and some people may be listening saying, yeah, but Josh didn't have anything to lose. I'm afraid of dreaming big because I have stuff that I could lose. Right. Mm-hmm. And how do you combat mm-hmm. that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it is just being able to, that's a hard question to answer. How do you combat that? I think that the answer lies in having the conversation with yourself and being able to sit in the energy of emotion and see the emotion as opportunity to just outline what are the current things that are in your purview. Right. What are the current things? Like if you look at it as being things that you stand to lose. Okay, great. Those are just things that are there. They're things that should be on our mind. They should be concerning to us. They should be issues as we're moving and moving, you know, choosing to move forward and choose direction. And our brain is just trying to give us opportunity to consider all of the things that are on the table.
Right.
Put them all on the table and consider all of them. It's not saying don't do that. It's not saying don't reach beyond. It's saying you do have all of these things and there is an opportunity to lose them if you make this decision moving forward. And don't discount the opportunity that you're going to lose if you don't.
Ooh, that's great.
Right? And that requires a table where you put it all on there. You don't just put the things on that you either have or don't have. You put the things on that you could have and don't have yet. You've got to put it all on there, and then you've got to decide, with all of this opportunity before me, what am I willing to do?
And then Josh brings up just the fact that, and then it comes down to the confidence in yourself. Because if you can truly believe in yourself, that you can go and do, if you believe in yourself, that you can truly live in that and world, then the sky's the limit.
That's right. And it's emotionally charged. The journey is emotionally charged, and it's a day by day thing. And you know, Chad, I mean, you know, you and I talk about the reinvention of self and the creation beyond and our next step and our next phase and our next chapter. And when you're in the modus operandi of doing exactly that, it is always an emotional journey. And really being able to just have conversation with those emotions and not be reactive to them, right? But to be curious about them and to dive in with them. When we can learn to have that, then we wake up in the morning and it's not fear because we're doing something new. It's excitement because we're doing something new and we're willing to sit with all the emotion, put everything on the table every single day and say, boom, let's go. Right? Like that drive is curated. It's nurtured. It's not something, you know, too often people say, well, yeah, well, they're just born with that. That's just how they are. It's just who they are. I don't believe that.
I don't either.
I believe that experience gives us the opportunity to make decisions about what we've experienced, to find value in it, and then to move forward.
Right.
With the lens of perspective that we choose. Like we get, that's the opportunity that we have. And in the process of doing that, we create a confident individual. We create a creator, you know, we create the guy who's able to like reinvent self and continue to reinvent self. And I believe that, you know, my story, your story, and stories that are like this are for the world.
Totally agree.
That they're for individuals to latch onto so that they can find their next, so that they can lean in and learn from their own experience and find their next chapter. We're designed to feel fulfilled. And fulfillment comes through the stress of growth and the emotion of growth and the choice of growth. Right.
So many people are so comfortable in chapter one that they're fearful of jumping into chapter two. So true.
Yeah.
Josh, your content, your information, you're an inspiration to so many. Absolutely loved what you shared. I love sitting down and creating your vision with no limitations and no fear. Josh, we're going to do this again. Love spending this time with you. Have a tremendous day.
You too. Appreciate the opportunity to be here, Chad. Talk soon.